Blog Talk Radio.
Show. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and I am so delighted to be here. Yes, I am. It would appear that the April Fools happened a day early for me because, as most people know, I normally broadcast my show on Thursday nights between 8 and 10 p.m. Eastern Time. But Something kind of wacky happened last night. I went, it was 5 minutes before showtime. I had called up to, you know, log in on the, as a host and on my show. And there was a message that there might be trouble with the line and another number for me to call in. So I hung up and went to call that other number. And when I called the other number, it essentially told me that I didn't have a show scheduled. Somehow it had acknowledged me signing on and then signing off, and it just closed out my ability to have the show. So, you know, I went through a few moments of panic. Of course, I had the wonderful Peter Coyote with me, who was live last night, and he's a very calming and peaceful presence. Bless the Coyote man. So, you know, after my panic, I essentially called my free conferencing telephone number, which has the ability to tape conversations. We did the show through the teleconference number. We taped it, and today's a new day. I downloaded the conversation, and I will be playing that for you in just a few moments. But since I didn't get to connect with my audience yesterday, I figured I would, you know, just catch up with you guys and share what's happening with me for the week. This would be the week, the last week of March. I realize we're in April today, but this past week was the last week of March, and I had a very interesting week. There were some interesting dynamics going on with a Facebook friend, which I would like to share with you because I think it's happening maybe to a lot of us, and we might not know what's going on. One of the things that I recognized was I was having a deeply empathic experience with this friend of mine who was posting on Facebook. And what was happening is she was posting, you know, very, you know, kind of lighthearted jokes on my Facebook. But when I was reading her posts, I was getting these tremendous twangs of pain that felt like she was stabbing me. The emotional triggers that I was getting was she was emotionally triggering that I was being laughed at and made fun of, and she was mocking me. It was really wild because she had posted two times the day that I got this experience. The first time it hit me, but I didn't say anything. The second post was about 2-3 hours later. I was in the woods. And again, her words were not really, they weren't showing the sarcasm that I was feeling from her post. I mean, these feelings were just, it was like atom bombs going off in my belly. And to be honest, I reacted. I did not respond. I reacted. I got pretty fierce with her on my post and basically told her, you know, I didn't like her behavior. I didn't like her attitude, and I wanted her to leave my wall. And the reason why I'm sharing this with everybody is I think it's very important. What this has taught me, it's very important to recognize empathically that we are going to feel, people are going to come, when we're dealing with people, whether it's through the computer, the telephone, or face-to-face, or shucks, even I would imagine maybe through the mail, snail mail, we're going to feel them, we're going to feel their intentions, even if their words are different. but it's going to become really quite clear what is going on within them, and their words, again, might not be in congruency with what's going on within them. And what I'm learning is that when I'm triggered by what I'm feeling from them, learning to respond in neutrality, not to respond, you know, as a trigger, because I have to for my own sanity, learn how to deal with feeling more and more and more, because this is what the nature of what's happening is. We're all becoming consciously aware that we are one, and so I need to process these emotions, but not by responding as a reaction, as a knee-jerk reaction, and going, "Yeah, you're going to do that to me. Well, I'm going to show you." So I did indeed apologize to Andro. I cleared my energy field. I've been very conscious now that Facebook is a it's like, what do they call it? It's like a petri dish if you're empathic. It's a petri dish for experiencing other people's feelings. Even if their words are reflecting one thing, you could easily be connecting into, you know, some deep, dark secrets of people. And it's important to know, this is the importance of why I go to the woods, and this is the importance of why I spend time alone. Because I spend time in the woods alone, I'm very clear on how my energy feels, what I'm processing, who I am. So when something like that hits me, now the reason why I reacted the way I did is because I have had experiences where people have been judging me and laughing at me. So it was already within my blueprint, and so it triggered me. But the truth is, at this point in time, I'm pretty much, you know, living a transparent life, and I'm okay if, you know, if someone finds me spiritually, you know, different than them, and, you know, they call me crazy or a crackpot or whatever. At this point, I'm so grounded in my own awareness that consciously that doesn't bother me. But it seems emotionally, I'm still working on the awareness that I'm processing these emotions for the planet, for myself, and so it's important for me not to respond, you know, like a maniac. I mean, it's like I got Hawk in me, and I can be fierce, definitely. And I told her, I said, I'm not apologizing for being fierce, but I am apologizing because it's never my intention to hurt anybody. That is, you know, live a harmless life. That is my goal. So that is my share for this week, and the awareness that I tell you is, believe me, I don't think you have to call yourself an empath anymore. I believe we are all empathic as well as telepathic. In fact, I think it was Bashar who coined the phrase tel-empathic, which means we not only can feel each other's thoughts, we can feel each other's emotions, we can feel this from each other, and you know, we want to know what's ours, what's not ours, but as long as it's in us and we're feeling it, we need to process it and, you know, filter it through unconditional love, filter it through compassion, and then let it go. And then, you know, don't give it another thought. So that's my share for this week. I did an amazing interview with Mr. Peter Coyote. It's only about, I think it's an hour and 27 minutes, so it's not going to take us totally up to 8 o'clock, but it's going to be close. If you have any questions, after the interview, there'll be about 10 minutes left. If not, I'll just close the show out. So here's the interview that didn't get played last night. I hope you enjoy it. I know me and Peter certainly had, we enjoyed creating it. So here it goes, everyone. Enjoy.
Oh, there you are.
Okay, we're being recorded right now.
Yeah,
so,
cool.
There you go. Welcome, Peter. Okay, this is quite an event, and I absolutely believe this needs to be recorded. It is being recorded, and we are going to not only have this in-depth discussion that we plan to tonight. Somehow I will get this posted, because I believe I can program shows outside of Thursday night. So you will hear the show. Unfortunately, won't be live this time, but Peter will come back, and I won't announce it. I'll just announce that it's you, but I won't announce the show. And we'll try doing it that way. So welcome to another reality show, Peter Coyote. Thank you so much for being here.
It's my pleasure, and thank you. We really appreciate you, Golden Hawk. You rock.
Well, you rock as well, my friend, and your patience is tremendously appreciated. This is all new. So, all right. So let's forget. Let's be in our presence right now. Actually, just like I start most of the shows, let's do some deep breathing and ground and connect with each other and connect with everybody that's going to hear this.
Yeah.
Just breathe in your essence and know that all is well. All is always in divine order. Things may happen, but it's not how many times you get pushed down, it's how often you get back up. That is truly the only thing that matters. And you got a coyote and a hawk here. There's just no stopping us.
That's true.
So, Peter, beautiful Peter. First of all, how are you, my friend?
Well, you know, I'm alive and kicking. Life is busy as all get out, but I'm having a good time. And yourself?
I am also alive and kicking, you know, peeling back more and more layers of the illusion that I thought was myself to find the true essence underneath. And I'm having a glorious time peeling these layers back. You know, it's a really interesting journey, and the deeper I go into the onion, the more satisfying and gratifying, you know, it really is to experience that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think those of a conscious nature all are going through similar processes on, you know, different levels at different times, but we're all basically doing it right now. It's just time. It's what I would call the ripening. You know, it's time to wake up and smell the coffee, see the roses, and smell their fragrance as well, and just know that everything is not only going to be all right, it is all right. It's
right.
Well beyond the disaster stage already, and guess what? We're still alive and kicking and breathing, you know?
Yeah.
So there's something right here. There's something going on. It's good, folks. We're not missing it. So.
Well, you know, and it's very interesting because, you know, we're really reaching a point where I read it somewhere that if you look at all the doom and gloom prophecies, if you look at all of them, none of them have really come to pass. And I'm not saying that we haven't had tragedies on this planet, because indeed, Japan is a tragedy, hands down, you know, as well as all the earthquakes, tsunamis, twisters, you know, all the natural disasters as well as the man-made disasters. But it really seems like there's an agenda that the planet is not going to be here anymore. You know, there's a subliminal and not even so subliminal anymore, because all you have to do is turn on any news program, the history channels, you know, even some of the science channels, and it's like the 10 worst disasters, you know, whether it's, you know, asteroids coming to the planet or you know, the earthquakes that are going to split the planet open, or, you know, whatever their flavor of the day is for the big disaster.
Yep.
It really does seem that, you know, life simply continues. And, you know, the one that's really getting shaken up the most is the human being, more than, you know, the planet herself.
Yep.
It for what they're calling for.
Well, it's also on another level. It's an attempt to influence actual events, because if you can get enough people to fear it, worry about it, you kind of create it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
so
that's true.
Because of the dynamic of the human being, of the nature of our soul and spirit behind that soul, which, you know, is pretty magnificent.
Yeah.
So there.
I unlocked it. I just want to make sure, because I didn't know if that would affect the taping at all. Sorry. I just, go ahead. Please go ahead.
So anyway, we just have to think about that side of ourselves, and that's why we know everything's going to be all right. You know, we've been asleep. They've just been taking advantage of us, pushing us around this way, and in a million other ways. It starts as soon as you're born, and what's your first little greeting to the world? A slap on the fanny, you know?
Yeah.
Welcome in, buddy. You know, let's see how this one goes, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But you have to think about, why is that way? Why, when we're capable of such magnificence, when we, you know, when the tables are turned, the bite is on, humans are capable of some pretty spectacular moments of great assistance to one another, and oftentimes risk their own life to save the life of another, and so on and so forth. We're real capable of greatly compassionate things despite the darkness that we inhabit, you know, the lowness of our thinking, the greed, the lust, the social unconsciousness, however you want to describe it, you know, the controlled side of being. You got to think about, if we're this magnificent, if we really have this kind of caring for one another, and it's in everybody, whether they know it or not, then why is it that people were brought to such a, why has humanity even chosen to live at such a low state? And the thing of it is, well, it's real simple when you think about it, because you take this kind of thinking, you trace back the magnificence in humanity, you know. You see it also in the animal kingdom oftentimes, but humanity seems to have the most of it. And you got to take that back through history, and you can't really believe that, you know, we may have been Cro-Magnon at one time, but before that, you got to think about what was there before that. They must have been some pretty magnificent creatures, and there must have been some very compelling reason for them, beings of that nature, of that great light, to come in and become these forms in this limited dimension, to experience pain and low consciousness, almost absent, you know, to be totally centered on physicality and need and want, to feel separation from creation and feel like you have to dominate it or kick it around or let it overwhelm you. Either way, you know, you have to think about, why would magnificent souls take on such a task, you know?
Well, you know, from what I've read, I haven't gotten this information, quote unquote, directly, but I believe that the people that I'm speaking, that I've heard it from, have got it from a source other than, you know, CNN, let's just put it that way.
Of course, yeah.
And, you know, the essential thing was that, you know, initially we were never meant to go truly this far into density as we actually are at today.
Well,
you know, that
in some ways of thinking, true. But in other ways of thinking, not necessarily, because we've only done what was necessary to do. Because the other side of that question that I'm asking, why would such magnificent beings choose to incarnate in such dense and low levels and experience all this nastiness, you know, the other side of that is, it's a noble effort.
Mm.
Because there was created an aberrant energy in the universe, and it was having difficulty with itself. It's kind of like a teenager, the symptoms of being a teenager as a human being. It's kind of like that. It was starting to feel rebellious and separate and questioning the nature of its existence and so forth. And it, you know, became quite dark, you know?
Very dark.
And so there was a need created in creation to bring some corrective energies into that and help that energy, that life, remember itself and come back into the good graces of its own heart and not, you know, be lost forever.
Right.
I mean, that's put it in pretty simple terms, but it is a simple story. And so these beings of light, of which we are created, made a conscious choice to become, and Mother Earth too, Mother became the Earth, you know, and her children came from beings of light, and we became this baited trap, basically at the center of the universe. I mean, you know, you can look at it from many different angles, but essentially it's an energetic place, yet we're quarantined and cut off from everywhere else, so that if we could draw this dark energy here and inhabit that form, no one else in the universe would necessarily be influenced by that. You know what I mean? That's why
we're vulnerable in this state. Indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, man, we are like, you know, it takes, this was the deal. We had to get through a certain length of time with it. We had to live every possible dynamic within certain limitations, but pretty much every possible dynamic that this energy could create through us and survive it.
Yeah.
And come to this point where, okay, now it's time to turn on our lights for us to remember who we are. And guess what? Because we've allowed this other energy, this aberrant energy, to cohabit this existence with us as part of ourself, as part of the singular person we thought ourselves to be.
Mm.
Because of that, as the light comes on for us, guess what? There is no part of yourself separate from yourself. This that inhabits you becomes enlightened as well. This is how, you know, this is how we came to reform the energy. That's what we became, the Mother Earth, and we as her children, both of whom are very light beings, of course.
Mm.
And this is how we came to do this. And this is what, that's the basic formula. So when we start talking about reptilians and grays and ETs, you know, we're talking about beings of influence that are part of the greater scheme of things that are actually family to us in one way or another. So they're all kind of in on it when we're not. So they've been able to help us from a distance. And it's getting closer now, closer to a time where they can be a little more influential to us, the good guys, I mean.
Right.
But this is what's happening on the other side of it, is we are ourselves now, because we've lived through this certain period of time, and we created time just so we could live through this many, many generations of separation and inhabit, and these forms were drawn here, and they did occupy humanity as reptilians. They have. That's their form. That's when they choose to incarnate, that's their form. They're reptilians. This is what makes them different from us. But I have seen in the past, when the forms were created, they walked out, the human and the reptile, they walked out of the waters of the oceans here on Mother Earth, side by side, almost as if they were Siamese twins, looking into each other's eyes.
Hmm.
And then there was separation, but when they first came out of the water, that's who they were. They were the same basic presence expressed in two different forms.
Well, because they are from the Creator light, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's that's why we became, and that's, you know, what we're doing here. So now the good side of it is, as we awaken, we become conscious of these beings who've basically been invisible to us inside of ourselves and outside of ourselves. But that recipe also includes others. Besides the occupiers, as I would call them, the energies of darkness that express themselves as reptilians that have occupied humanity, besides that, there's lots of other players here.
Absolutely.
And they become visible as well. So as you become more conscious, you know, you're going to see all kinds of stuff. It's just a part of the recipe. It goes with you know, seeing through the dimensions. You know, there's no real limitations here.
Right,
you
which
know.
Is a beautiful thing. I mean, that's,
yeah,
as
yeah.
creators, that's what we, that would clearly be the environment we'd want to experience.
Yeah, that's ascendancy. That's what it is. It's
right.
It's real
and
to that.
Right. And if people can at least hold it as a potential that to understand that unlimitedness without fear is the ultimate playground.
Yeah,
for,
also,
for
also understand the fear, while it inhabits ourself, comes from that other, well, let's call them a race of beings. It's a lousy way to call it because they're not really a race, but that other energy
okay.
field of beings that have chosen to occupy us, that's the fearful side of ourselves, the side that worries.
Right,
and,
right. It's not inherently human to be afraid.
No, no, and it's like, so that's, you know, you recognize that kind of as an alien energy, but also as a part of you that you've agreed to take
exactly.
to work with.
Yes.
To let it test you extremely, but by the same token, bring it back to the light. You know, to
mm-hmm.
live the same life together and together transform the energies of darkness and light and become what we truthfully are. You know, and that way there's no aberrant energy. It's all sweet, uniform, the great harmony of life, the song that sings and all of that fun stuff, you know, zippity-doo-da.
There's a bluebird on your shoulder, Peter.
Darn right.
Indeed. Right on. I remember that movie. I saw that in the theaters.
I felt like that a time or two in my life. It gets that way sometimes. It can be pretty awesome, I'll tell you.
Well, and, you know, what I love is, the, you know, what we're speaking about tonight is, you know, that it truly is, that time is coming because, you know, there's a frequency in...
Oh, it's here. It's here.
Or it's actually, right, I stand corrected. It is actually here now
yeah.
that we can just be creators without worry, without fear. And, you know, from a, you know, literally a creative standpoint, think about that. I mean, creating a home, creating a way, a physical body to be in,
yeah.
creating colors, you know, and your canvas is the sky. You know, I mean, these are, because all you have to do is look into the minds and hearts of children to remember who we really are without all the density that has been, you know, and I'm not saying that the children don't, they are born into it as well, but it takes literally about 3 to 4 years before it starts showing up. Before that, they're just these magical beings that are just sharing their essence of joy at the curiosity of everything around them without any, I mean, there's a couple of inherent fears, like fears of ledges and loud noises, but like that's about it. Beyond
well,
that, they're not programmed.
Don't even have to be afraid of those, really. You know, you just, yeah, I mean, there's such a thing as wisdom, and you know enough not to walk up to a ledge when, you know.
Well, exactly. It's more of a sensation. Exactly. It's not, I shouldn't even call it a fear. It's just a sense to know, and you're exactly.
Yeah.
Even a newborn infant knows that, as well as the startle effect of a loud noise. It just knows that something has shifted, and it responds. So exactly right, and you know, it's like we're coming into that. So it's like we're being reborn again, but we're not infants that have to learn how to utilize the body. We're energetic beings of light that have to remember how to be, you know, gods and creators again. That's what we're
yeah.
learning again.
Because it's like, yeah, it's really a process of remembering, you know, and seeing what's actually there already, seeing that we are creating all the time in this dimension. Then we realize it or not, we are. But that's what we
So let's talk about
we
that.
We realize our natural part in this creation.
Right, but the truth is, we are, you're absolutely right that we have never stopped being creators.
No.
And I think it's important to speak on that because I think people think if they're creating dark, it's not them, and if they're creating light, it is. And
nice way to define it.
Well, but it's not an empowering. It's not self-empowering to not take credit for the dark stuff. Only because that you would have to be a victim then, and that is clearly not a self-empowering perspective.
No, but you're only a victim by your own volunteerism, so you're not really a victim whatsoever. That wise part of you that you're not always conscious of knows exactly what's going on at all times and is making conscious choices continually that affect and influence outcomes for everybody. That's the level that life is truly lived at. That's where we are.
Right.
And so now ascendancy, consciousness, coming back into the light, is basically just remembering that. You know, it's like the fog falling out of our brain. I don't know about you, but my brain's so damn foggy at times.
Yes.
So I mean,
What I'm hearing about this fog, though, is that it's literally where the planet's getting her brain rewired and we're getting our brain. And when I say rewired, rewired back to the original blueprint prior to any DNA genetics that have happened to us.
Absolutely, yeah. Because there was a time on this earth when our genetics, well, more than once.
Right.
In fact, it continues to this day. But there was a time when there was a huge drop in humanity's consciousness. I mean, it was genetic alteration, not just of Earth, us, but of Mother Earth as well. It changed everything. It was one of the most incredible tragedies to ever occur, yet it was a necessary step in the dynamic of our evolution and our responsibility with Mother Earth to continue this creation in whatever form and manner we can, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but there's been that genetic manipulation, and it goes to more levels than just the physical. It goes into what we call spirit, which is really the energy of life, which, you know, is just what we are, the light. And so they've manipulated in this dimension. For some reason, you can do that. You can warp it out, and that, of course, it's been done by those that felt themselves disconnected. But again, the reason being so that we will come back. And as we come back, we bring those energies with us. It's real important to understand we're the rescue crew. We're not the victims.
Right.
The victims are more or less the darkness that's bringing itself back to the light and don't get to have any fun anymore.
Well, what they're going to have to do is go through the whole process that we are going through, which is remembering how to be connected back
well,
to the source.
They do that because we're doing that, and they're inside of us.
Oh,
now,
I see what you're saying. Oh.
Consciously a part of us, physically as well as spiritually. Energetically, any way you want to describe it, they are a part of us. Each human being on this planet is occupied. That's what ego is. You know, it's taken elements of ourselves and warped and corrupted them, but it's an entity that lives within you and one that you're not going to kick out. You know, you're not going to exercise this one because you've come. This is your teammate. This is, in spiritual essence, your psychic twin. That's why it's allowed to inhabit you. And, you know, the end of duality is when we see beyond the concepts of light and dark, when we realize the truth of ourselves again, you know. And so we're bringing them with us. They are occupiers. They are invaders, if you will, on one level. But on another level, they were invited here. Come on, let's work this thing out. Let's get it over with. And let's heal it. Yeah, well, that's what we're doing.
And it's interesting. I had a friend of mine recently that she does DNA work, and she says that she's no longer using the word healing. What she's using is the word harmonizing.
Yeah, because that's what it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because we really do have to acknowledge the dark for the value it brought to the play.
Oh, absolutely. You know.
And I think that's a big part of this.
It's a beautiful thing in another way, and it's seeing beyond the preconditioning that we've been given that instantly judges anything nasty and brutal, you know. Yet it goes on in every one of us. Every one of us are nasty and brutal on some level at some time, just about any time. Yet we're so high and mighty we get to judge it in others. And, you know, anyway, moving past that little paradigm where there's, first off, that there's any separation, because there's not, and secondarily, to see past the illusion of the rotten things that are done and realize the true nature of the dynamic of the experience that's going on, not only inside of us, but right before our very eyes, to understand the true dimensions, the true valor of the beings, both light and dark, that are living and working in this existence and through the channels of life, you know, together are truly creating a rock and roll harmony. That's where rock and roll came from, more or less, was from the rock and roll world that we live in, where it's been so divided and so conquerable, because, you know, one side's got to be weaker, another side's got to be stronger, and so on and so forth, you know. It's a weird and strange dynamic, but it's a beautiful, beautiful experience. And on another level, those that play the roles of darkness and those that are their most wounded victims are volunteers. I mean, can you imagine? And of course you can imagine this because you've got it inside of you, feeling separate from all life, you know, not feeling loved.
Right.
It's happened to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, we know those moments. We know what that experience is like, and we also know what it's like to have the joy. This is why they drive us nuts with sex. Partly it distracts us, but it's also beneath that thing, that the nastiness, the ugliness they try to convey through us, beneath that thing is this sincere desire inside of the darkness, the reptilians, to return to the light, to come home, to finally get it over with. You know, as well as our own desire, too. It's the deepest longing that we have, every human being. That anything you do that's warped and diverted or blessed and beneficial is based on that need. And it goes beyond need, because need doesn't truthfully exist.
Isn't it more like expression? It's the desire to express and create.
Yeah.
And then experience.
Desire to reconnect with that creator, to go home. That's what it interprets through me all the time. Go home, which is the heart, which
right.
is to remember, again, all these little dynamics we've been talking about, you know, in creation, but to remember who and what we are. That's the whole journey. And as we do, of course, this other remembers along with us. There's no more separation.
Yeah, well, and you know,
separation doesn't exist in truth anyway.
Exactly, but you know, it's like when people say, you know, you can call this world an illusion, but you know, when I run the car into the brick wall, it hurts. You know, it's it's one of the realest illusions I've ever experienced.
Yeah, but you also notice there's a little dynamic when you're getting into that brick wall where you're kind of removed from yourself and you don't have to feel the physicality of it. Everything slows down.
That's true.
It's like time doesn't exist
right on.
Anymore, you know?
No,
so
right.
So it's like what you think is wicked, horrible, and terrible really is a graceful experience. It's just another movement of the light. Whether you stay there and then choose to suffer the pain of all the busted bones and stuff, or you choose to separate and go home and be with that heart, either way, it's all right. It's a beautiful thing, you know.
Yeah.
And if you choose to stay there and suffer, it's because you're commissioned to. You desire this experience for yourself, for the deepening and the ripening and the richness of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if you're just sit there whimpering and a baby about it the whole time, your other side is just so greatly benefited. You're more than willing to go through it. Isn't that something?
That's true. You know, they say the soul is more than happy. It likes extremes either way. Extreme joy, extreme pain. The soul likes to feel.
Well, see, those things on the same level. They are the same thing. That's why there's masochism here. You know, a lot of people get crosswired and get confused about it. But it's like the soul level, that's the pain and ecstasy are the same thing. You know, there's no separation. There really is no pain. There really is no ecstasy. There's love. There's light. There's truth. There is this humble desire to be and to be creative. And it comes from the most essential, words escape me now, because there's no real description. But
these are beyond words, definitely.
It's the seed inside of us, but it's more than a seed. It's already sprouted and grown. It's like, it's the most amazing thing. We are the most compassionate and beautiful beings. Because we're made that way, just because we are, it just is. That's our truth.
The
ugliest person on earth, the most occupied reptilian dweeb Illuminati wine ball is a beautiful bean. I mean, you
know. Well, and you know, I would have to agree, but they do make life challenging. You know, hence we're doing this call on a free conference.
As long as we follow their matrix, as long as we follow their dogma, as long as we buy into their fear, of course. But it's not theirs. It's ours. We've created this. It's for us to experience and know that, guess what? No matter what they throw at us, it ain't going to hurt us one little bit. We just have to see beyond that fear dynamic, that limited place that says if I accidentally step in front of this car, I'm going to get killed. Guess what? The reality is you could be dead asleep, walk in front of that car, and you don't have to die. You're conscious enough to evacuate that space immediately, and there will be no collision, or to realize the consciousness of reality and understand that matter can't destroy matter and just flow through it and it
right.
won't hurt you. I mean, you know, there's
no, you're absolutely
ways.
You know? Well, and I'd like to share a story. I always like to, you know, and if you have personal stories, I always think personal stories, people feel them deeper as opposed to us just saying this is truth.
Yeah, okay.
Because about 10 years ago, I was driving in the car. I was messing with my radio, and the key about this moment was I was feeling good. I was singing songs in the car. It was a beautiful, sunny day, and I was playing with my radio. You know, I think it was to turn the song up or something, but I remember I looked up, and, you know, I'm a relatively intelligent girl, and I knew through the dynamics of physics the amount of space and how fast I was going between me and a telephone pole that even if I turned my wheel, I was going to hit the telephone pole.
Yeah.
But I didn't. All I know is within the next second, I was about 10 feet past the telephone pole driving down the street. And, I mean, it was an actual consciousness in me and went, what? Like, I mean, I turned my head around and went, what? I couldn't believe I didn't hit the telephone pole because I went, there was just not enough time for me not to hit the time and space. If it was just time and space, turning my wheel was not going to you know, avoid that accident. And yet, you know, the song went on. I continued singing and had a lovely day. And you know, I've read now that that's what happens is I shifted into another reality because, like you're saying, the divine being within me is like, no, that's not the time. Like, we have designated times where we can choose to leave.
Yes.
And if we're in one of them, that's not. Then you're not. Then you're just going to move through the accident. You're not going to experience it. It was like pretty wild.
And every one of us, the most lame people on earth, the most beautiful, intelligent people, and everyone has that ability. Everyone.
Yes, yes.
So now, because the vibe has been turned up on this planet, you know, in some mystical ways that I don't pretend to understand,
yep.
we've come into the photon belt, some people say. There's lots of ways to describe it, but the vibe is turned up. And we're in a place now where, you know, people are going to become conscious that this literally does happen through them, and that sweet, humble part of ourself is constantly moving through this life, making new situations for itself. It's an exploration of feeling. It's a beautiful thing, you know. Feelings, that's what physicality is all about, is feeling.
Really feeling, too. I mean, actually experiencing the moments of creation broken down into moments of choice.
Yeah.
Because when it's instant, you don't have that. It just is. You think it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't even have to think. I don't know how to describe it, but it's not even thought, really. It's more like voice. It just comes from inside of you.
Yeah.
It is, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember one time I
there you go. Tell stories. Beautiful.
Oh yeah, I was in a friend's treehouse. This is a big old house built up on top of these five beautiful madrone trees.
Nice.
Suspended on cables. It's like a three-story home, but it's real open and glassy, and when the wind blows, you kind of rock with the wind, you know. It's really a unique place.
Nice.
And, you know, so I'm sitting there, and I decided it was time to take a little journey. And I went to I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know if it would be a cartoon journey or a real serious head-on journey, whatever, you know.
Okay.
But I didn't even have a moment of dark. Usually I have a moment of darkness I have to work through when I first start that kind of journey. This time I didn't. I just floated right through it. And I could see that I was headed towards the center of the universe. And, you know, I was being drawn there, you know. And there was this being on what looked like a throne to me, you know, but it was just this big old chair floating in the middle of every existence.
Mm.
And from this person was coming all of this life. It was just coming out as a big way of vibration, too, as a voice, a very deep voice, but a vibration. And all of creation was coming out from that person. It looked like it was coming out of their center, you know, because I could see them from the back as I was approaching, you know. And I came from quite a distance. It was way out there. I came in and floated, and as I got closer, it began turning slowly to face me.
Wow.
It was the darndest thing. There is myself looking at myself. All I could do was laugh. I mean, you know, the joke's on us, man. We're there. Every one of us, we're there, you know. And this guy was wearing a little Merlin outfit, you know, with the moons and stars on it. I thought that was so cool. But his voice was like sweet thunder, you know, and it was coming out of his mouth as he spoke. It was creation coming into being. Now, I'm sure that was kind of metaphorical, but at the same time, very real, you know. That told me a lot. It took me so long to assimilate. This is the thing now, when you go journeying like that, then you come back to physicality and you got to integrate and you got to understand what you've just experienced. It took me so long, you know, because there were so many weird pressures around me at the time and just all this weird stuff I couldn't process very well. So it took me a while to finally get it that really that's each and every one of us. That's where we are. That's who we are. That's what we are. You know, we're that very love that creates.
Right,
know?
Right. And it's so loving that it allows us to forget that we are. That's how unconditionally loving it is.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the paradox I think some people get slipped up on, you know.
Well, it doesn't see from the definition that we do. You know, we have these definitions, you know, this way of describing things and giving them attributes and values. But,
right.
You know, in reality, everything is more than equal. The value is
exactly the same.
There's no real value. It's
right,
just,
because
it is.
Right.
Everything's equally love and loved as well, you know, because there are parental figures and there are children and there's various stages of development in this grand scheme we call creation. But that's what we're coming to see. You know, when it started for me, it was like, I mean, I'd have known all my life. I'd known. But at the same time, you know, you forget a ton and you get traumatized by, I mean, you know, my moment of inhabitation was pretty damn dark. It was strange stuff. So you really get taken away. Yet yourself doesn't go away. It drags you through. It gets you up there. And so, you know, I think I was in my early 40s when it really started. I was 30 when I first started to connect back, but I was in my early 40s when I made the switch, and it took death to do it, you know. I mean, death and I have danced many a dance. Every time I've been with her, she has shown me something new, usually about myself, but about others too. But, you know, she's always demonstrated something to me, even if it's just the value of staying alive for a little longer, and just for the fact that you might touch and influence one life and have one life influence yours, and so on, you know. But I came to that point in my 40s where I was dead. I had this illness. I was worn out inside. I was exhausted. And my body was producing antibodies against its own muscles and making strange cancers in strange places. And I was skin and bones, and I thought I was going to die. You know, in fact, I was more than willing to in some ways, you know, because I was that exhausted inside.
Right, right.
So I came to this moment where I laid back on a blanket. I exerted a little bit of effort, and it was just more than my body could take at that time. And so I crawled over to this blanket, and I just sprawled out on it, face up, and the sun's shining, and prepared to meet my maker. I was done. And instead, the sky kind of opened up, and I could see up through this thing that looked a lot like the sun, but you're looking right into it. You can see it with your eyes opened or closed. It's real.
Mm.
And there's these beings encircling above me, in that circle that would be the sun, but it was life. It was this opening. It's hard to describe, but it's kind of blue at the center, and it's golden, and the beams are golden looking down on you, and the shaft of light is golden that's coming to you that you're looking through, that you're experiencing.
Okay.
And I felt all of this love. I mean, it's impossible to describe in human terms, because that's about the only time we feel it's when we're getting born or we're dying, one of the two. but that's changing. But anyway, so I felt this, and all this love, and this heart-to-heart communication began, which was kind of like words. You could understand it in words, but it was more like energy. Then they say, here you are, and you can come on home if you want to, but, millions, billions of lives, uncountable numbers of beings, lives, depend on your staying with it for a little while. And I looked at these guys, and from inside myself, I said something like, wrong number. Guys, I'm a flake. What are you talking about? I'm weak.
Right.
And they just looked at me and smiled and kept that love coming, and they looked at me and said, well, then, can you stay alive for your kids and your grandkids? Well, I may not have been the best father on earth, but I love my kids, all of them.
Mm.
And I said, hell yeah, I'd do that. And, not realizing what I was really saying, because, I got a lot more kids than I think I do.
Exactly.
In many ways.
Exactly, yes.
A lot more siblings, too, brothers and sisters. Yes. And I love them as well. But anyways, that's how they convinced me to stay. And after that, of course, that lasted. There was much more to it. It would take me hours to describe, and I don't want to. But it went on for probably only 30 minutes, but it felt like a lifetime or two. You know what I mean?
Well, and it's in the non, you're not in time, really. You're really out of time.
Yeah.
So it might be 30 minutes on this planet, but, that doesn't mean where you were wasn't a lifetime, literally.
Yeah, but after that, I started to get well.
Of course.
And
awesome.
Things started to come to me that I needed, natural stuff that helped me out, and people and stuff. My life, I was open, and I could communicate beyond the limitations of life. So, I got to visit with Mother Earth and Father Sky and all the beings in between, and oh my goodness, I just, it was an amazing experience, an amazing time, still going on to this day. It never stops. It just
indeed.
It changes forms, its energy expands and contracts, and you go through all kinds of experiences, but, that's how I wound up on this path. That was my moment of awakening. And, they told me frankly later that, somebody got to do it. They're not the only one, but, there's the early birds, the pioneers, and that's,
right.
was my position. And I'm more than happy to do it. And so here I am. It was years later, I was, I got led into what we used to call healing work. And, but I never charged for anything. Never did. I wasn't in it for the money. I was in it for the love,
Yeah. Which is, I really believe that those of us who heal, and if we didn't get paid finances, we got paid from the universe, through opportunities, through friendships, through missing telephone pole, however the universe.
Yeah, it does.
You know what I mean? Like, there's always a reciprocation because that's the nature of the universe.
Well, because we are love, and we wouldn't create anything, otherwise.
Right.
It's love.
Right. Right. Peter, I do want to say, though, since you're just telling that story, there's definitely been a shift in this phone call, the energy. I can feel it.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, it needs to be. Because it's time. To be quite honest with you, we're coming into some real challenging times now, And it really is imperative and beautiful that we all wake up together. There's some real significant signs passing over our heads even as we speak, but there's more to come. And we're at a real critical turning point. We've already made it beyond the stage. Understand, so there's no danger.
Right.
I'm not trying to spread any fear.
No, and I love you, man, because speak your truth is my truth, and you speak it beautifully, so please,
so
yeah,
it's
indeed.
Coming. It's coming, folks. It's coming.
Okay.
And it's coming in forms we may have kind of suspected, may not, but it's coming. And just remember, as it comes, because they're going to try and terrorize the hell out of you, just remember as it comes that all things are love and nothing is harmful. Nothing. And we're going to be okay. We're going to make it. I've seen it. Life lives because it loves itself. Just remember that. Because you're going to be moved. You're going to be moved to feelings you didn't even know you were capable of. And I don't care who you are, where you are. It's coming. It's here. And that's all you got to remember is life is love. And we would not destroy our beautiful earth and ourselves along with it. We are love. Just remember that. And love doesn't hurt.
Mm.
That's only an experience we've chosen for ourselves for a while. Look at this stuff. Feel the energy flowing through you because it's coming. And when it does, I'll be there with you. Every ascendant being that Earth has ever created and passed through her portals is going to be there. We're all in this together. There is not a being separate from it. But these are the times we've been waiting for. Yeah. It's no wonder they wouldn't let us on the air tonight, huh?
Yeah, that's deep. I mean, because they're actually frightened of the power. The beautiful part is, I mean, I can already see it. I'll get this up and running tomorrow. Everybody will be listening to it by tomorrow.
Cool.
Yeah, and it'll be right on my Blog Talk page. I'll download it, you know, when we're done tonight. And however, it's got to get done.
And listen, there's one other thing I did want to mention.
Please.
On a personal level,
okay.
Karen and I are in this place where some really beautiful changes are trying to happen. And they're real necessary, not just for us, but for the Earth as well. So please put forward some kind energies to help grease the wheels and help this thing move along and for us to get it done right.
Oh, absolutely, Peter.
Because we're all in this together.
Absolutely.
But, you know.
You have, anytime you need a little boost in the octane, you come to Golden Hawk. I got alchemical wheels. I play with lots of toys that I would be honored and delighted to put you and Karen in, of course.
Just the
uniform
energy of many people, Karen, will help this happen. It will. A lot of people, Karen, and it'll happen, you know, because it's supposed to. You know, it's time.
Exactly.
So, you
exactly.
know, we're going through some real radical changes in our life right now, but it's a beautiful and powerful thing, and I love every minute of it, I tell you.
Well, you know what's, from a personal point of view, there, all my life, I mean, I'm 46 years old, so I was totally resonating with your story. I also had my quote-unquote awakening at 30,
You're over 30, man.
Oh, yeah, I'm way over 30.
Wow.
But my awakening where, you know, I basically said, okay, I'm tired of being afraid. Even though as a child I was talking to animals, I actually never lost that ability, you know, hence the whole name thing and everything.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely connected to, and after my mom died, I connected with the trees, and the forest really began, I mean, just absolutely speaking to me.
Yeah.
But for the first time in my life, I feel comfortable being here. And it's such an anomaly. Because, you know, from the third dimensional point of view, it's never been more chaotic than it is right now. So, you know, sometimes I go to myself, what? You know, are you a lover of chaos? You know, and maybe not know it. And it's not that I'm a lover of it, but it seems that my genetics are built for this time to be calm.
Yeah.
You know, to feel the presence that, yeah, I'm supposed to be. I mean, because this is, you know, I'm like you. I know that the changes are coming. I'm not a masochist by any means, But I because I have known about these changes, guys, I would say for easily the last 10 years,
yeah.
I'm excited that because once they get here and we're done with them, then we get the heaven on earth. And I know that that's coming. So at some point, we've got to go through this dark night of the soul for the planet in order to get past it.
Yeah,
so, you know, I'm like, I tell my girls that I nanny with, you know, if there's any chores you got to do, my philosophy is let's get them done, then we can play. You know, I'm not a procrastinator when it comes to, like, my philosophy is, no, let's do all the stuff we don't want to do first because then we don't have to worry about anything. We can just play. And it does appear that, you know, at this particular point in my life, the work is showing up for me to do. And, again, it's not work. It's just what I was born kind of. It's the purpose for why I came here. But my purpose is also I will have no problem being, you know, in the beautiful frequency of heaven on earth where everything is conscious of everything and, you know, we're creating, you know, crystal homes and, you
yeah.
know, communities of just, you know, where there's no patrolling officers. We're just all taking care of each other and loving each other, and we don't lock doors because everything's manifested, you know, by way of thought and intention. And if we don't like our homes, we can unintend it and create it again in a matter of minutes. You know, it's like
yeah.
all of that is, you know, it's not science fiction. It's truly, it's where we're coming into. And
I'm sure, like me, you've seen much of what is in the future. It's amazing.
It is amazing. I mean, it. In fact, Peter, I think what's really, or I feel, and I've had confirmation on this on certain things I've read, we've actually come back from the future. That's why we
yeah.
know it.
Yeah, exactly. That's why.
Yeah.
That's why we can sit here and safely say, "Don't worry about it, kids. We've already made it through."
Exactly.
All we gotta do now is play the part.
Exactly. Because we've made it through, we knew how to come back here and what to tweak
yeah.
in order to not make it where we didn't make it through.
And you know, now to make some sense of this coming back, I was one time on top of this mountain again,
okay.
doing a little journey, and we were watching these. Me and some friends were watching these UFOs come in over our heads and make landings down below in this canyon down below us, you know. They would
wow.
like, they would come in, they come in kind of like shooting stars. They'd
okay.
blink out for a little bit, but you just kept your eyes on the trajectory, same speed. You'd see them blink back on as they got close to the ground. A light would come on. They'd hover there for a moment. Then a light would come on the side of the mountain. Then, bloop, this would go inside of the mountain, and there would be, you know.
Wow.
And then there would be no more light.
Right.
But this happened several times, you know. And it was kind of interesting, but I really didn't know what it meant. And so I just asked my helpers and guides, you know, what the heck is this, you know. And they said, well, that's us coming back from the future. You know, this was the rescue squad just in case things didn't work out in this
uh-huh.
time frame. But they did work, so now we're safe, you know. I mean, later they told me that. They didn't tell
right,
me how.
Right, right. Right, right.
See, so in other words, those of us that were here as volunteers and well, more or less capstones, whatever you want to call it.
Okay, okay.
We would have got bailed out if it wouldn't have worked back in the early 90s.
Oh, I see, because they had kind of like a, what are they, like a freak, they had a, they knew where we were.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, the dynamic, we'd missed it once before that I know about, and so we'd come back from the future to fix that place. But, you know, to do that, you got to go way back and start all over. It's
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a long journey back to the past.
I put a little bit of that in this book I wrote called The Atomic Bomb. It's got a little bit of that story in there, enough that you can get the idea of it. It's you know, more or less the true levels that life works at, you know. When we get also caught up in our physicality, sometimes it's good to remember this ain't the reality. It's different than this. It's
way different than this.
Yeah, it's us coming back from the future to repair ourselves so we make it this time. And guess what? We did it. We succeeded. So come on, folks. Let's just ride the old horse through the prairie and get it over with.
Well, and you know what's interesting enough is what's really being called, at least for me personally. What's really being called energetically and intentionally is to stop trying. Don't try. Just relax and celebrate and know that all is well. And
that's it.
You know, it's like
just let it happen.
Just let it happen.
Yeah,
exactly.
Just be there. Yeah. Be present. Yeah. Don't be non-present, but let it happen. Just let it work through you. It's one even I'm still learning. You know, I'm sure we all are together. But
right.
how to let the mind, this dry intellectual thing, stand out of the way and just let the heart create. It, oh
right.
God, it's, it, you know.
Ooh. Right. Well, you know, because I mean, and it's interesting because when I'm in the woods and I saw this woman on YouTube. I don't remember her name at the moment, but you know, she speaks to the trees and she's made these products. And I mean, I adore her. I've actually, you know, sent her an email. She hasn't responded yet. I'm hoping that she comes on the show.
Yeah.
But one of the things she says is, you know, I realize, you know, you can't get out to the woods every day. And, you know, I'm listening to this going, well, I do. I mean, I won't say every day, but anywhere between 4 to 7 days a week, if weather permitting, I'm out in the woods basically with this little camp thing that I, you know, in my backpack, I set up it's like a little nest, a little bed, just so I can do my contemplating and my sometimes I bring music, sometimes I bring channeling, sometimes I don't bring anything and I just, you know, watch the birds. And but I'm like, you know, I've created a life where my bills are paid, everything is taken care of, and 4 to 7 days a week, you know, I'm nestled within, you know, a couple of trees, watching the clouds go by, just like I would do as a child in my backyard.
Wow.
And everything is falling into place. And, you know, what I love is, like with Facebook, is it allows me, if something does come into my field that, you know, tilts me, you know, I'm open to it, and I take full responsibility of it, but I play with it. You know, it's not about, you know, oh my God, now I'm not ascending, you know, something's tripped me up. It's more like, oh, okay, look at this, a little something creative, because personally, I'm a person that I adore a challenge. I don't want to not be challenged. I don't want to be in fear, but I don't mind, like when I was a kid, friends of mine and my dad, they used to do those, like, number riddles, where they would talk through a riddle and you had to figure it out. I mean, like sleuthing. I used to love that kind of stuff because it's like, you know, I had to pull things from different parts of my brain and put things together and visualize from this perspective. Oh, no, but let's stand over here and get this perspective. And that's just what I love. Those are the things that genuinely, you know, give Goldie a hard on, so to speak. And, you know, it's like, I don't want you to think, you know, just because I'm out there lying in the woods not doing anything that there's not challenges in my life, because, I mean, there is challenges.
That's when you're most active, too, when you're in moments like that. That's when you do your journey, you know.
Well, thank you, because it's so funny how two people can be lying there doing nothing, and one can be absolutely, you know, an acupressure point for divine energies to come into the planet and be, you know, truly just making miraculous experiences that the entire planet is benefiting from. And another person can be lying there in worry or in fear about, you know, their bills or whatever it is, that losing their job or their home. And I'm not saying these aren't significant, but, you know, like you were saying, there are changes that are coming that it's just stuff.
Yeah.
If we look at life from the perspective of what does the soul get from this and what does the ego take from this, when we lose stuff, I've had my house burned down to the ground when I was 14. I've left all of my stuff in Buffalo, New York when I got basically kicked out. I had no money. I threw a few things in my Toyota Corolla and drove home the 11 hours and left like 15 years worth of accumulated stuff in Buffalo. You know, you start getting used to that. Okay,
yeah.
So I'll buy more clothes and I'll collect more trinkets and whatever. The pots and pans will get here if I need them. You know, you stop worrying about that kind of thing because I was physically okay. I had it, you know, I came back home to heal my relationship with my father, that was so priceless. I really see the benefits of why at that particular time in my life, quote-unquote, the rug was taken out from when I was in Buffalo, and it brought me back here to do the real soul work, which is my ancestral karma that I have between my mother, my father, and my brother. And there was work that needed to be done, and I came home to do it. And that's priceless work.
That is.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter that I don't still have the stereo and the dressers and the clothes, because that stuff isn't priceless. That's tangible, temporary Macy's. I mean, come on. You can't even compare the two. And I think, you know, I know that what I like to emphasize all the time, whether on Facebook or the radio show or just people I speak to in line at the grocery store, let's keep a perspective on what's really valuable to our experience, you know, because it's not the stuff. It's not. The stuff contributes to our experience, but that's not what the entire experience is about.
Not at all.
Yeah.
That's just the movement of love, you know, giving us, as you say, a little challenge at times. Sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes it just is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it was interesting. About 5 years ago, we had one of those rainstorms where we got like 5 inches of rain in about 6 hours. And we have a parkway about 3 houses back in from my backyard where something happened on the parkway. And the parkway, ironically, was built on a riverbed, which is, how brilliant is that? We won't even get into that.
Yeah.
So something broke on the parkway where all this water on top of all the rain that we had just received was being dumped into basically my street. So, you know, there was, we have a little brook that runs beside my house.
There.
Okay. Hopefully this keeps us going.
Wanted us to go into a sub-conference. No,
I know. Maybe my cheek hit the phone. I'm thinking my cheek hit the phone because it should not be affected by what, but I'm all new to this conferencing stuff, so.
Well,
so anyway, so all this water came, and, you know, I saw, I would say surrounding my house, there was probably, besides the 5 inches of flooding, surrounding my house, there was about six homes, three on each side, that had significant flooding because of this breach from the Merritt Parkway. And so I went outside, and, you know, it was so funny. I had this little broomstick that I had made, I had painted when I was in early childhood, when I was in college.
Yeah.
So I had the broomstick. I'm walking through the water. I kid you not, I feel like Moses. I mean, that's just the frequency that was coming through me.
Cool.
And I'm seeing my neighbors because, see, unless there's a tragedy or something like this, we don't converse with each other.
Yeah.
You know, we live within 15 feet of each other or whatever, but we don't converse. So everybody was outside, and at first everybody was like, oh, I can't believe it, you know, my washer, my dryer, my computer, oh, this is flooding, blah, blah. And, you know, I literally just turned to them and went, are you kidding me? You know, Katrina, people, let's think Katrina. This is nothing. It's just stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I realized that, you know, you got to kind of have balls to say these things to people. And I know that I've got masculine energy in me. That's that we've already, I definitely know that.
We do every now and then. It's kind of weird, isn't it?
It definitely is. But it was
a subject for another show sometime.
Indeed. Well, because I'm starting to recognize what the frequency that's actually happening is turning us all into bisexual beings because that is the neutralized state of ground zero.
Yeah.
You know, of the zero point energy
that you
just love. It doesn't matter gender. You love because you love.
Yeah, and sexuality is transcended into a whole different thing.
Oh, yeah. A spiritual dance of spirit, not just organs and, you know, place A into B. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, it becomes a whole different ballgame.
It really is. So, yeah, and the thing I just want to end about the flood thing was, ironically, we were not affected by that flood. I mean, we got less than a quarter inch of water in our basement.
Wow, cool.
And, yeah, and I'm not saying that, you know, that we're the privileged or anything, but my father actually wasn't. He was at his girlfriend's that weekend. And, you know, I really believe that, you know, I've done energy work. I've been conscious pretty much, you know, for the last 16 years. When you're working stuff, there are definitely energies that are supporting you.
Yeah.
You know, that said, you know, all right, you're working it. We'll help you work it too. I mean, like you said, I don't claim to know how it works, but it was pretty amazing that, you know, right outside my driveway, 10 feet, if I walked, there was water up to my thighs, and yet in my house, we don't even have a basement. It's just a den with a brook that was literally about 2 inches from being overflowing past the banks. And we didn't have any water, you know, we didn't have anything significant in the den.
Isn't that awesome? That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know how it happens. I just know, I didn't care if it did. That was kind of the thing. I was more about kind of telling the people, but look, we're outside talking to each other. Look at that.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't even said hello to each other in the last 15 years. And
wow.
I think that's what tragedy tends to bring.
It tends to
unite people.
Absolutely. That's why some of them occur, you know.
Yeah, it does seem that way.
It does. You know, brings out the, and it also brings out the more noble side, too, besides the reuniting. But this next one, don't fear. It's not going to be a disaster. They're going to make it look like that. They're going to make it look really rough. It's not going to be that way. It's going to be just like you. And a lot of times I've found in my life, all you have to do is make the move, you know, move just like you, just step outside, you know, and once you make that move, the universe just pitches in behind you and away you go.
Yeah.
But sometimes you got to make the move, so, you know, if you see it coming, make the move. Step outside. Don't stay indoors. Step outside. Face it head on. And wish
yeah, be
on.
With the people. Commune. Commune. You know, send a love, help relax and calm people down, and
yeah.
That's so interesting that you say that too, because there's a gentleman that I've been following, who also says he goes, it's gonna look like it's gonna be crazy, but he was the one who brought up to me about like how when I didn't hit the telephone pole. He's like, you know, if you just hold the space that, you know, like you're in your heart and, you know, you're just going to move through it and not even really know that it won't be an experience you're going to experience. You're just going to move through it, similar to the way I didn't hit the pole.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because what you just said felt like a resonance to exactly that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because... You know, I don't have any fear about this radiation stuff with the whole Japanese thing. You know, because first of all, we're getting hit with radiation from the solar flares. I don't even know if people are aware of that.
Oh yeah, well, you know, there's actually since they basically invented the atomic bomb and reinvented it, they've blown off so many of them. And this is not to mention all the accidents at the nuclear plants we don't hear about and the production facilities and so forth.
Right.
There's enough radiation out here to probably kill us 100 times over. Already.
Right.
And nobody's dead. People are getting cancers and stuff, yeah, but, I mean, it's not the massive wipeout that it should have
Right.
If anything more deadly or dank comes besides that, just look at it and just remember what we've survived already, you know, what's really happened here. They haven't told us the truth. They never will. Well, they will too, but only when they have to.
Well, do you think they will, or it'll just be that we'll know the truth from within?
No, I think they will speak it at one point.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they will.
Oh, okay.
But it'll probably be more like after the fact than before it.
Well, kind of like someone telling now what really happened to Kennedy. Like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be something along those lines. Because by the time they're speaking it,
it won't matter.
Yeah, we'll already have it, you know.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes that feels right to me as well.
And it's probably just as well that it be that way. I mean, I really wanted it to be another way, but it's probably just as well that it be that way because they stayed asleep right till the last minute. It's better.
Indeed.
You know, they're actually less deadly that way, really.
Well, because you know
that's
exactly right. Do you know what could kill people is literally too much light to their nervous system could fry them.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. I mean,
but you got to remember that light is love, and so really that can't happen. Even though that's
to the physical body.
I'm talking about the physical body. Even though we've seen it happen time and again, that's not the reality. The reality is light is love. If you receive that light is love, then it can't hurt you.
Right.
It won't. You just become the light because that's what you are.
No, that's true.
In essence, when somebody dies, that's what's happened anyway. Only they separated from the physical body. But it's just a way of checking out. So now what I'm talking about is if this light comes, as you invite it in, say, I am love, you are love, come on. And you don't worry about it. And, you know, you don't separate. The whole package changes, yes.
Okay, indeed.
It becomes a much finer, more well-equipped package than it has been in the past. Our perceptions are changed that greatly. We begin to see ourselves, in other words.
Right.
So, you know, we understand who we really are. You know, that's what really happens. So it's a union of physical.
Well, you know what? That makes total sense. There are people that have been hit by lightning that live.
Me, I'm one of them. I've been hit three times.
Three times?
Yeah.
For real? Talk to me about the lightning. Wow.
Well, never once right down, you know, hit you in the head and go out your feet. Never once like that. But,
oh, okay.
But in glancing blows, like the one I can remember right off the top of my head, I'm sitting on my motorcycle waiting in a line of cars at a construction zone in Wyoming, this wild area of Wyoming. And there's me and a friend on this motorcycle, and I'm standing and kind of balancing the bike between my legs, and she's sitting behind me. And this lightning, this storm just blows in out of nowhere, and this lightning comes down about 10 feet from us.
Mm.
And it come up through her, it ricocheted off the ground, up through her hind end, through my hind end, and down my legs into the ground. And neither one of us were hurt in the least.
Oh,
We were a little shaken, but we weren't hurt in the least. That's one I can remember. The other one, it hit a truck I was driving while I was sitting inside of the cab, and it glowed all around me, bright blue. My hair was standing on end. It melted a couple bearings in the truck, but it basically just passed through it and didn't hurt me.
Wow.
You know? That's two. Now, the third one, I'm trying to remember, and I can't, you know.
That's okay. No. So do you think that you're actually a conductor of that light, and that's why there's these, you know, it almost seems like, you know, there's no coincidences, you know.
Well, I think in a way I'm living proof that harmful things can't hurt you because I've sure been through a lot. That's, you know, you don't.
Indeed, huh? That's an interesting message. Okay.
The story goes on and on. And I'll tell you what happened. I had a friend who had a biofeedback machine. He's really good with it, most excellent. And he put that thing on me one time to get a reading. And he says, my God, Coyote, you've been polluted with everything known to man, radiation, AIDS, what haven't you had?
Wow.
And I could just chuckle. And it wasn't just that kind of, that was just stuff that had been thrown at me at different times, you know, when I was doing public work and stuff.
Really?
Accidents, like you wouldn't believe. I drowned when I was seven. I was out of dead and out of my body, came back when I was 12, 13. I went out the back end of a truck on a paved road and hit on my head and was gone and came back. And, you know, I mean, I've survived many, 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 many different, like I told you, Death and I have danced a lot of dances, but that's probably part of it, is just to show folks, because I have been bitten before by like a rattlesnake. And again, it wasn't a direct hit. It caught me on the tip of my finger with one fang.
Right.
I didn't die. I didn't get the poison out, didn't go running to the doctor. I just put a little mud on it, went on my way, you know.
Wow.
And I was fine. I mean, many, many things like this have happened, but that's part of it. It's not, you know, and a lot of this stuff happened to me way before I ever became conscious of the reality that I'm you know, basically.
Or the unreality, you know, the reality nobody.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Long before I became conscious, much of this happened. But just the dance of angels and so forth, you know. But
right.
Again, it's just like what you've been through with your
My drugs.
Yeah. Oh my God. What a fun way to test ourselves.
Oh yeah. It definitely takes you to the bottom quickly. Definitely.
Oh yeah.
But
I never did that hardcore stuff like that. I mean,
for good reason. For God's sake, Peter.
Wow.
You were doing hardcore in other spaces.
Well, that just did it. It's amazing. I never got strung out on anything like that because I sure wasn't afraid of anything.
Right. Well, and you know what? I'll be honest with you. That is what leads to drugs is the fear. Definitely. Because here's the irony of it. You go to drugs because you're afraid, but for me, until I was ready to face it, they actually saved my life. I mean, they took me to the brink of death, but they saved my life because until the world was ready to hold the frequency that I was ready to accept me as a being, much greater than I am, and that's the ironic part. Accepting myself as the beautiful light being, not the dark being. God knows, I accepted that way early, and because, like, you know, it was interesting. My birth name is Cindy, and the reason why I bring this up is I used to always play with sin. You know, I was Sin 69 on the softball. You know, I was the baddest cat in town. And that's not to say that my ass didn't get kicked by several people. And, you know, I was terrible at being bad in the sense of, you know, when I went bad, there was pain, there was suffering. God knows I did bad good. But it was like, but I so embraced that for my, I was fully aware of being bad.
Wow.
It was the challenge for me was it is being fully aware of being divine.
Yeah.
And that is so ironic to me.
If you've experienced the one, if you've experienced the low side of it, guess what?
Well, I get to catapult into
the. No, you already are.
I already am. Indeed.
You already are. You've already experienced the divine because that was that moment. That low moment was the high moment.
Right, it is, isn't it, huh?
Yeah, so you know, now it's just a matter of becoming conscious of what you've already experienced. See how easy that is?
Well, indeed, and it's allowing, because I'm starting to realize, just allow the beauty to come in. You know, I don't have to go seeking it and grabbing it and proving it. This is the idea of lying in the woods and daydreaming and traveling and enjoying the birds. And allowing the divinity to literally come to me. In fact, my 3-year-old that I nanny with, I asked her just the other day. I said, "Will I ever be able to speak to my?" She calls them Lalas and Tinkerbells. I go, "Will I ever be able to speak to my?" Which are essentially her guides. I don't know how this keeps happening. I apologize. Will I be able to talk to them the way you talk? Will I be able to hear mine like you can hear yours? And she goes, only when you let the earth come to you. This is a 3-year-old. And I went, in other words, don't grasp, don't try, don't, you know, the meditation is all the things that I'm running through my head. These are the mental things to keep my brain busy because the brain can be a real pain in the ass and get in the way if I don't keep it busy. And I get that. So I keep it busy with what I think are spiritual things, but the insights and the wisdom and the genuine sense of divinity comes always when I'm least expecting it.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the most unpredictable.
It's called coyote medicine. Like that. I think life is coyote medicine because, you know, the joke is always on us, but it's always so sweet. All we can do is laugh at it. Once we get it,
exactly.
Yeah.
But even when you get it, there's a challenge because you want to grab it, but it's like sand. If you grab it, it comes out.
Yep.
If you hold your hand open, it stays in your hand. You know, you have more of it.
Yeah, that's the way it is. Well, it's the flow of living, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's more than worth the journey now, isn't it? I mean, you know.
Oh, I'm so glad I didn't check out in my early teens and 20s.
Oh,
I'm
too.
So glad.
I'm so happy you're here.
Well,
this
I have a
good.
Feeling listening to you, though, they probably wouldn't have let me anyways, because, I mean, I've had, you know, people have shot at me and things in my drug days that,
Yeah.
You know, I've always said, wow, you know, my guardian angels must be working OT, because, God, that bullet, you know, I could hear that one go by my head. You know,
yeah,
exactly. Just a few inches to the left, and, you know, that would have clocked me right in the skull, but
yeah.
It just never did. It just, and we're not the only ones. I'm meeting more and more, especially through Facebook, of people, male and female, that really just say, you know, there's like this Teflon thing that, you know, we're meant to be here because we kicked the shit out of ourselves when we were younger, and we just didn't go away.
Isn't that something? It's amazing. It really
is.
I remember when I hit 18, I thought that I would never see that day. I didn't know what to do with myself. I was 18.
Oh.
What do I do now?
Aww.
And now I'm all the way up to 22. I'm doing real
good. You're so cute. You remind me of my dad. Are you still 22? I honor that. Well, and I'll be honest with you. Don't you still? I know the body ages, but really the consciousness does not age. I am absolutely still a child in here.
I love it. I'm still You know, I'm. And even the old body gets along fair. I mean, I still got an old man, but it's not bad. I don't go to doctors. I don't need.
I don't do doctors either.
And my old joints and stuff, all still work pretty good. I ain't got no plastic or titanium or anything like that.
Right.
I mean, I'm happy for that. That does make the physical presence. But you know, sometimes though, when you're an invalid, it's a good thing too, because then you get to meditate the whole time, and you don't have to really pay attention. Then who cares?
Absolutely. Look at Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No. Because every experience is exactly what the being, you know, is required to do or to have in order to become the enlightened being that we are. I mean.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's powerful stuff.
It is. It's beautiful too.
Now, I got an hour and a half. We can go up to 2 hours, but I don't want to, you know, we can be natural. We can go whatever we want to go.
Right. It feels like we've got there, doesn't it?
Peter, you're exquisite. You, indeed. We got there. I will, I'll keep you up to date on everything, because I'm going to make a show for us. This is going to get posted, and,
okay.
But we are going to do a live show.
Well, maybe.
What is this
maybe
like?
We're
going to do a live show, we're going to do several. You're just in my world. I personally, now that we've found each other, I would like you to be here for the rest of the duration.
Okay. You got
awesome.
It.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love you, my sweet friend. You're exquisite.
I love you, too. You know, you help a lot. Have a lot of people that you don't even know, and a lot that you do. And anyway, God, just can't say enough thank yous. You know, you're beautiful. I'm glad
thank
you're
you.
Here.
Thank you. Hey, wait.
I couldn't imagine living in Buffalo as a kid, let alone being on drugs. You've done right well for yourself.
Well, we all have angels that guide us when we need it, indeed.
I tell you, but something brings them. Something brings them. It's that good heart of yours, hon. It's
aww.
I really
well,
appreciate it.
Thank you. Listen, back at you. Back at you for sharing your truth and your stories. Because just like what you say about me is absolutely true about you. I mean, you're helping tremendous amounts of people just to know to be unconditionally loving. I mean, just to be unconditionally loving about what happened tonight and not be frustrated at me or the circumstance, that's exquisite.
Go
that's
with the flow, yeah.
Go with the flow, absolutely. Hey, listen, do me a favor, though. Plug your book or your website. What's your website, you and Karen's website?
Well, that's undergoing a transformation right now, too, so
I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah, we'll give it out later. The book's The Atomic Bum, if anybody ever has any time to read anymore. It's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and wherever. I don't know. You probably won't find it in many bookstores, but you might. You never know.
But you can order it. I mean, as long as there's an ISBN
number,
you can order
it.
Okay.
What is it called?
The Atomic Bum?
Bum, yeah. It means hobo, from my childhood days. That's where that one comes from.
I will post this book on the on the episode page because I can find it. So
awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
It's a fun little book. It's not what anybody expects, but it's along the lines of what we've been talking about. Outstanding. It's already outdated, but it's good.
No, I have a feeling it's timeless. Yeah, you're timeless, Peter. So I'm sure whatever's coming from you is timeless as well. So.
Right on.
Yeah. All right, you sweet man. You be safe. You be amazing. And I will speak with you very soon.
Thanks so very much.
Absolute pleasure. I love you. Take care. And big hug to Karen next time you see her.
I will. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care, love.
Bye.
Bye now. Yay! So that was my interview with the incredibly enchanting Peter Coyote. I really wish he was here today with me. He's a fun, beautiful being to speak with. And we have about 25 minutes left to the show. I'm happy to answer questions if anybody has any questions. There is nobody queued up right now in the on my switchboard. So I'm going to make an announcement about who's coming on in the next few weeks. And if nobody calls in by then, I guess I should mention the phone number, huh? God bless Goldie. Okay, the number to call in if you want to have a conversation, ask a question, have a comment is 646-929-2084. The website, might as well plug my website, anotherrealityshow.com. Lots of things going on with there. I've been posting videos lately and just lots of good stuff. Okay, so here's what I got going on for April. We've got Chuck Gallagher is next week. He's going to be coming back speaking about his book, Second Chances. Chuck's a really fun motivational speaker who basically was some sort of accountant, or he was in charge of finances. He basically stole money, he went to prison, and then came out a motivational speaker. I mean, you just got to love that. The 14th, I haven't booked anybody yet, but I have a feeling it's going to be a doctor who wrote a book about the process of his son dying, and his son died consciously. He left notes. And if I'm correct, I believe he still speaks to his son post-death. That's not booked yet, but that is what is in the works. The 21st, I will be in Wisconsin with Dawn Leader, so I think we're going to do a group DNA session. I'm very excited about that. And the 28th is Marianne Monroe is coming back to the show to share with us more of her beautiful experiences and what's going on with her. So, okay, listen, it's Friday night. You guys are all out there having a good time or making dinner. It was a pleasure. I'm so glad that I got the interview with Peter on the air because, boy, it seems like the minute I say we're going to be doing a show about the dark agenda, well, dark things happen. So we're not saying that anymore. Okay? We're not saying that. From now on, it's the beautiful Peter sharing unconditional love, and then whatever we talk about, we talk about. All right, everybody. I'm gonna go. So you guys have a great weekend and a great week. I look forward to speaking to you next Thursday night between 8 and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Everybody's amazing. Stay that way because it's the only way to fly. All right, everybody. Take care. Bye.